What up, everyone? Today we are going to be talking to my boy, Mark Menard, and he's got a whole wealth of knowledge for any of those entrepreneurs and influencers that want to get involved and get into doing their own thing. And he's got a great story, man, where he's helping a lot of kids out where he's from and doing some stuff with the kids with special needs. And then he has his own podcast, and he's got a book that's coming out too, man. So I want to encourage everyone to go you know, check out his book. He's a leadership expert. He's got his company Dreamshine, where he helps the kids with special needs, and he's got his podcast Elevating Beyond. So make sure you check all that stuff out. Plus his book, The Story of You. You got to make sure you peep that out. Pick up your own copy, Amazon, all this stuff is coming out. So make sure you check it out. And also check out my boys over at the SD Law Firm, SD Law Group, amlawgroup.com. Make sure you check them out. My boy Anthony Medina, doing his law thing over here in SD. And he's helped out a lot of people start businesses. He's got a lot of stuff going on, man, and he's got a whole lot of stuff going on in the nonprofit world as well. So make sure you reach out to him, Anthony Medina at the sdlawgroup.com. All right, so let's do this. Let's get into this with Mark Menard. Get connected.
Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on an industry. Connected.
Mark Menard, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Ruben. It's an honor to be with you today, my good man.
No, thank you, man. Thank you for doing this. I know you're in the middle of doing all kinds of stuff here and still getting ready to go on vacation. So thanks for taking the time out to jump in here and do this for us, man.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Yeah, it's been a vacation that's been a long time overdue because I have worked a relentless amount of hours this past year. So, been promising that our kids Disney World for quite some time now. So spring break's coming and we're going there. We have five kids, so we're going with a whole Brady bunch.
Nice.
We'll see how that goes.
Nice. Nice. Hey, well, just so we can jump into some of this. I know, you know, you have a pretty, extensive background that I think, you know, I want to spotlight because, you're doing some extraordinary stuff that I think most people you know would shy away from. But you know, I want to know if we can, before we get into the book and the podcast, can we talk a little bit about Dreamshines and the company that you started and more than that on why.
Sure.
On why Dreamshines.
Yeah, sure. And that's kind of the foundation. What everything else is kind of built upon too, but really it started off kind of after some of my adversity and stuff that we'll probably talk about later that's in the book and stuff too. And I ended up coming out to Ohio for a while just to do tile with my brother after college. I used to just do labor with him doing tile, and I didn't know what I was going to do after college, honestly. And I was like, I'll just come work with you for a while, do some labor and figure out if I'm going to go to grad school. I had my BS in psychology. I was thinking about going back because I wanted to work with children for child psychology. And at that time, my niece was diagnosed with autism. And that's kind of what led me to start having some more interest in the field that I got into. But it wasn't exactly that. I also got a job offer through one of their friends to work in what was called at the time the county workshops. What those are is that was like the programs they have for individuals in the state of Ohio with special needs after the high school age. Because if you imagine, a lot of us and stuff have different options after high school, you know, we can choose to drop out. We can choose to work at McDonald's. We can choose to not work, choose to go to college, but the point is we have choices. Well, their only options were these workshops. And I got a job offer to work at one, just kind of at random. And as I got there, I loved working with individuals with special needs. But sadly, what I didn't love was these workshops were like these giant institutionalized warehouses with bright fluorescent lights. And their only options were really to put machine parts together, or they're given crayons and a piece of paper and told to color. And it just kind of really broke my heart to think of even my niece, you know, after high school, that would be her only option. And I love being in the field, but that's kind of where my why started. Like, I took note of that, you know, like, there needs to be some other options here. But from there, I got an opportunity to work in the different group homes and do residential care as a manager with individuals with special needs, which was great because then I got some management experience, kind of learned more about leading a team and stuff, and stayed in the field. From there, flash forward, I got a job opportunity to work in a new special education program for a high school they were putting together in Columbus. And then a few years later, it got back to where our first round of students were getting ready to graduate, and it brought me back to square one. We started touring them around to the different workshops. And it was like there was all these different county and state-owned workshops all around Columbus, but none of them were different. Like, it was either go to this institutionalized warehouse with fluorescent lights and put machine parts together or draw with crayons, or go to this one on this side of town. And out of like our 22 students, like, I could see maybe two or three of them that truly would have been a good fit for, but the rest of them would have been absolutely miserable. And that's where I was like, okay, something needs to be, no one's doing anything about this. I did research. It's been like that for 40 some years in the state. Something needs to be done. So I started just researching and happened to kind of reach out to a guy. Again, at that time, I was probably like 24 years old. And I just happened to find a place online that a guy that owned a really cool program that was on the other end of Ohio near Cincinnati. And they were kind of on a farm, and it was like the first one I saw that wasn't institutionalized. And I just coincidentally got in touch with the owner of it, talked to him, told him what I was looking to do, and he was kind enough to talk to me for like an hour. I went down there and met with him, saw his program. And he kind of took me under his wing as a mentor. I found out he was the first and only program to ever open in the state of Ohio that wasn't owned by the state or the county.
Wow.
And the reason I bring that up, is because he actually had to fight a whole court case because the county and the state tried to shut him down because they wanted to own all and control all the money. And we're talking about like close to $1 billion of funding that comes through for this.
Wow.
And you would think they would advocate for something like that because he was creating different options, but he really had a battle. So that was the biggest piece of advice he gave me. He said, you need to learn and study all the state rules and laws. So I spent like a year, and I still have my book today. It's like 500 pages. I had to become like a self-taught lawyer and learn all the state rules and laws, because he said, you're going to have to be prepared. He's like, I'm not going to lie. Like, you're going into a battle, but you're doing it for the right reasons. And I got certified. We became a licensed agency. And we went to, at that time, my brother actually purchased this old rundown campground, which was always a dream of his. This was over 10 years ago. Now it's a lot nicer. But at that time, I told him what I wanted to do. And he's like, hey, if you get licensed and certified, you know, we have this extra building here you could use to start up for a while. So we made a plan. My sister kind of joined in on me with my vision. And I remember we started like printing our first brochures off on using like a, I don't even know how we did, like a copy machine and stuff, and mailing them out to people. And that was before like everything was all over the internet and iPhones and all that fun stuff. We actually had to mail them out to everyone and just really hustle for it. And our office was in their barn, and we were running extension cords to our fax machines and stuff. And so we didn't have a client enrolled yet. It was the summer after I had left the school where I was teaching special education. And they knew that I was pursuing my dream, and it was kind of bittersweet. They wanted me to stay, but they were really advocating for what I was doing. And we had one individual who was going to be our first client, and he had actually been in a workshop and was miserable. And I got to know his mom, and she pulled him out of it. And he was a 25-year-old young man with a lot of energy, loved sports, and was having to just sit at home all day with his mom. She got a job where she had to work at home so she could help take care of him, because he couldn't be left home alone. He needs support and care, even help with eating and stuff. And he tried the workshop. He was miserable there. He was having all these behaviors. He'd come home crying at night. So when she found out what I was doing, she was so excited to find out, wow, it's going to be this outdoor type environment, all these different options. So kind of long story short, we were certified. We were getting ready to open, and all of a sudden I get a phone call on the same cell phone number I have now. My phone was different. It wasn't an iPhone, but I did have a cell phone. And it's a lady who, I don't need to ever mention her name, but she worked directly with the governor for the state of Ohio. And she called me. I was about 25 and a half at the time, and told me what her job title was and what she did and why I should not open Dreamshine. And I thought like someone was playing a trick on me or something. And then I realized it was real. And I'm like, how did you even hear about me or get my number? Like, we've just been mailing like hand printed brochures out. You know what I mean? And she's like, I'm just letting you know, it's been this way for 40 some odd years. And that's the way it's going to continue to be. And I'm trying to, quote, do you a favor, because it's going to pretty much be impossible and you're going to fail. So she was pretty much threatening me without threatening me. And I said, you know, thank you so much for calling. Don't ever call my number again. Goodbye. And I remember I got off and I'm like, wow, like this is like the mafia, you know? And instead of, you know, it was kind of intimidating, but rather than us backing down, it actually drove us even more to realize there's more of a need. Like, these people with special needs, they don't have someone to advocate for them. Yeah. And a lot of these families and stuff, they don't understand. I spent a year researching every law and rule. They don't have time to do all that. So that made me fight even harder. And we kept pursuing it, and it got to where our first individual was going to be enrolled. Who I was talking about, his name's Brian. And everything was set up. The mom calls me that night crying in tears and said she met with a head county superintendent, and they informed her son can't come to our program because we're not state or county owned and the funding doesn't work for them to come, which was actually a flat out lie. And to kind of simplify it, because I know a lot of people don't know, and I don't expect them to, like, all the ins and outs of this field and stuff, but it's kind of like a doctor's office. Like, if you have health insurance, you can choose to go to any doctor's office that's covered under your network. Well, that's the way we are. We have the same license and certifications as the state and county programs, and the individuals that come to our programs with special needs have a certain type of insurance. So they have a right to choose to go to that program or to ours, but they actually have the choice. It's a law. And if someone stops them from having that choice, they're actually breaking the law. And so they were misinformed, is the word that I let them use. I called the superintendent up and I let him know that they weren't following the rules and laws. We were certified. The gentleman, Brian, can attend. And he told me the same thing. Been doing this for 40 some odd years. He said, I'm the superintendent. If you've got a problem, you can come down to my office. Well, I was there within about 15 minutes. And I had a copy of the state rule and law. I made two copies. I went in there and I asked the receptionist where his office was. I went to his office and I laid one coffee on his desk, and I held one in my hand. I said, I know you've been doing this for 40 some odd years, but I'm going to read it out loud to you. Basically let him know that individual had a choice to come to any program that was certified, which we were. And if they stopped him from doing that, they would actually be investigated by the state. And if the state didn't investigate him, then the whole state would be investigated at the federal level, which is a huge deal. And I said, but I know you've been doing this for that long, so I'm sure you already know this, and maybe you just made a mistake. And I left, and that next day, he was our first official client to be enrolled at DreamShine. And just to help flash forward, like almost 10 years later to where we are now, we have a 2.5-acre place here that's our own, where we have a log home that we've adapted into our program, and a waterfront lodge that we've built that overhangs the water. It's all wheelchair accessible. We have fishing in the pond. We do like all types of things in the community. We created a job program, like on our webpage. We have all of our hand poured soy wax candles, and everything that is sold there actually goes towards our individuals with special needs. They help make them, and we pay them above minimum wage, and they're able to earn paychecks too. Wow. Without just having to put machine parts together. And we now have about almost 40 individuals enrolled in our program. I have 14 people on my team, on my staff.
Wow. Wow. That is huge. That is huge. And is it DreamShines? Is this something? So this is all privately funded, or are you getting federal funding or state funding to do what you do?
It's a common. Yeah, we don't get grants or anything like that. We purposely set it up as a for-profit. A lot of people get that confused. That's a whole other issue. For-profit and non-profit aren't that much different. Both of them are businesses. The thing is, we didn't want to deal with another board and a committee for a nonprofit. We wanted it to be our dream and our vision. And we already had all the state and county politics we had to deal with. So we set it up as an actual business, just like a doctor's office or something. And our funding comes through each individual that we serve, whatever type of insurance or something that they're on that we covered. There's just different billing rates for the different medical needs and such that they have.
Wow. And is there, I know you've had like quite a journey in even getting this started. Was there some, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you get into some kind of trouble or something when you started doing all this with anybody else outside of the county officials or the government officials?
Oh yeah. It's the whole journey. The whole 10 years has been ups and downs and different battles. We've never actually been in trouble. We faced troubles and adversities.
Yeah.
We were one of the first programs to be in 100% compliance when we were audited by the state and county.
Nice.
And what was kind of neat was we were asked to present in front of that same county that had tried to shut us down. And also, one of the people that happened to be attending that event was the lady that called and threatened me.
Wow.
Got to watch me stand up there and win an award. And wow, it just so happened her good friend's daughter was attending our program. I didn't know that at the time. I just always would remember her name. So the friend's mom introduced me to that lady, and she's like, oh, my daughter goes to DreamShine. This is Mark, the owner. It's the best program ever. And I'm like, hey, I think we spoke on the phone. And I was just like, thank you, God. Like, but yeah, we continue to face a lot of great learning areas with my team and my staff. And then we've had some adversity. I even had some years ago a completely falsified civil suit that a previous employee tried to put on us. That was fabricated, but it took 2 years to fight it, and we completely won it. But those things aren't easy to go through. I mean, there's a lot of sleepless nights and stuff as those come. But what I've learned is, if your character and your heart's in the right place, like I always say the tortoise and the hare, like every time you read that book, it always ends the same way. The tortoise always wins the race.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the podcast as well is because in my research that I've done and what you're doing and what you've done and what you're going to do, a lot of the stuff is faith-based and you know, being a brother in the Lord, I was like, man, you know, this guy has a story that I think some of the connected community would like to hear. You know, you have the motto of never give up, you know, so tell me a little bit more about, you know, how being a Christian has played into what you do, everything from Dreamshine to the podcast to releasing the book.
Sure. And, you know, if you want, you know, it even kind of started in my earlier years with the adversity of when I was in jail at age 17. Is kind of where my personal sort of rock bottom was. But the thing with being a Christian is I was blessed to have good parents. I was raised in a good household. I actually believed in God, but I just chose to just hang with a lot of the wrong people. And I honestly was a mess in high school. Like not just like a kid that partied. Like I was really, really not going down the right road at all. I'm honestly lucky to be alive. And I woke up in jail one day and had a broken jaw and shattered left eye socket. I didn't know how I had gotten there. And the police officer called me out of the detox room and took my mug shots. And that's when my face appeared on the screen. And the whole left side of my face was like a giant bruise. And he had told me that I had gotten a DUI. My blood alcohol was so high, I should have been legally dead. And I had briskly rear-ended someone at a wiener dog drive-thru at 2 a.m. in Colorado. But that wasn't how I got my injuries, because the accident was just like not even a fender bender. But I was 17 and some 35-year-old cowboy guy that had prior assaults in other states. Just beat my face in like a catatonic punching bag was how it was almost described in the witness report. And they said I just kind of sat there like a zombie on my front seat, and he just had a heyday on me. And it really took that rock bottom of I hadn't talked to my parents in a while. I managed to graduate from high school early somehow, and was living with two other guys in a trailer that sadly both of them are dead now. Wow. One died from a drug overdose and the other guy committed suicide, which easily was the path that I could have been, that I was going towards. But it kind of took hitting that rock bottom and to really going back to God again and starting to listen to him more, because I was realizing I would, first of all, I was scared that I was going to end up back in jail again, because and the fact that I beat my face in and I could have actually killed someone else. Like, I don't remember driving or how I got there or anything. But it was a transition, and that kind of pushed me to start going to college. I used to not think I was smart enough to go to college. And, I really realized, you know, I started believing in my faith more, and I kind of started studying scripture more, and I was raised going to church and stuff, but I really started thinking about it more, like what God told me. One verse I always remember is 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And I realized, you know what, if I'm saying I'm a Christian and I believe in God, I need to believe what he's telling me. And he's telling me that I'm not this guy that's supposed to be afraid and doing all these other things, that I'm not capable of doing stuff. He's telling me I have the power, love, and self-discipline to do this. And that's what kind of pushed me for that never giving up type attitude to go to college, because I knew that's where he was leading me to go. And then as we continued to fight and battle for Dream Shine, that's what always pushed me too. Like I said, when I was 25, 26 years old, going to meet with that superintendent, was I terrified? Absolutely. But I knew that God was leading me. So that's what pushed me to know I can do this. Like if it was just me, I couldn't, but I knew God was backing me up. He's the one that kind of put it in my heart. So I realized if I'm following the faith that he puts in my heart, I have to follow it up by taking action, whether or not, you know, I feel afraid, I just keep doing anyway.
Yeah. It sounds like one of those Moses moments, like when Moses was told to go free his people, you know, and he was confused, afraid, looking for excuses, but God gave him the strength to, you know, move forward and do what he wanted him to do, man. So what a blessing, man.
That's right.
That you were obedient and did that. How did going from Dreamshine to where did the fire begin to want to do a podcast and a book? Where did that come out of?
Yeah, sure. So going on 10 years, I started getting a lot more involved in leadership, because we went from having one to two team members to 5 to 10, now 14. And I just realized I had a lot to learn about leadership. I had learned so much about our company, working with our clients, but I used to think if we hire someone and they care for people with special needs, we're not going to have any problems. That's not the way that it works. We had a lot of problems, and I realized some of them was I would just almost be too nice, and at one point I was almost held hostage, the way I describe it, by a team member who I just kept allowing to. He was really good at what he did, but he treated the other team members with a lot of disrespect and stuff. And we would talk to him, but we never made that. We kept saying, giving warnings and stuff, but we kept him on for probably 2 years longer than we should have. And finally made the decision to fire him, which was the first person I had ever fired. Wow. It's never a fun experience, but I can say the fact that I let that go on for 2 years, I realized as a serving leader, I wasn't serving my team, because I was the only one at that time that could actually fire this person who was treating other people bad. And I lost some great team members because I kept him on. And so when I finally made the decision to do that, I remember I was scared, like, what's everyone going to think? And all that, through a small company. And the next day, like, the whole air cleared out and it was like, ding dong, the witch is dead. Like, the whole environment just changed because that negativity was out of there. And I was thinking, man, never again will I be a coward like that as a leader to my team, you know, for good or for bad, and allow things like that to happen. And what led more to the podcast and stuff is I started getting a lot more involved in leadership. I read Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership, and I attended, a lot of people know him for finances, but he and John Lee Dumas and stuff speak a lot about with entrepreneurs on a lot of different levels. And I did a seminar there, got to spend time with Dave Ramsey and his team. And they were doing their podcast at the time. And as I got to know different business owners that weren't even in the same field as mine, I mean, some owned oil companies, some were in TV, it's just all different areas, but they all had a similar heart and passion. They cared about what they were doing and they cared about serving the people on their team. And there was just something really powerful and special to that. And I came back, started changing some stuff around the way we do our leadership and stuff here at Dreamshine, and started listening to their podcast. And I got so involved in it and found myself conversing so much with other business owners and other inspiring leaders. And I just couldn't shut up about it enough. And I realized, you know what? I think I want to start a podcast. And also, another thing we wanted to do was, I mentioned a lot of our funding comes through the different insurances or kind of the Medicaid, Medicare that the individuals are on here. So the rates are kind of set. And I've always wanted to find a way to be able to pay my team members, at least pay the most I possibly can. But I wanted to find a way to bring more revenue in here so I could cut my salary out and put all that back into my team, because the people in this field just aren't paid as much as they should be, even though I do as much as I possibly can. And I said, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to write a book that really shares my story and start speaking, and everything is a passion of mine that's going to get my message out there at a broader level. But that's also going to help bring more revenue in so I can cut mine out and put that all back towards my team. So it's kind of all built off the foundation of Dreamshine. And plus it took 10 years of fighting in the trenches with my company, building it from the ground up, to really be able to have enough to talk about leadership and stuff. And now I've even spoken to other companies and different corporations, you know, because I've been through a lot of these experiences. I'm not just speaking theories out of a textbook or something. Yeah. And I realized it was kind of time to share my story about the jail and the adversity, and even throw in some of my little stick figure drawings in my book. Because
yes, I noticed that.
I knew it was going to help, you know. It was hard to talk about some of that stuff too, but I realized the more I open up about my ongoing fears and doubts that I face in my book, as well as on our podcast, the more people are like, oh, you go through that too. And the more like significantly successful business owners or NFL players I've gotten to know, who I've had on my show and personally and stuff, and found out they go through the same doubts and struggles that we all do. I think it was really important. People need to hear this, because they tend to look at people like that and think, well, I can't be at that level because they don't go through the same doubts and fears that I do. And the truth of the matter is they do. They just, again, don't let it stop them from doing. And that's kind of the message of my story. And I call it the story of you, because I share my journey and my mindset and my own transformation through it all. So people can take that and then apply that to their own life and transform their own life and take their own dream to the next level and beyond.
Now, for those that want to be inspiring artists or inspiring authors like myself, I plan to write a book someday. What do's and don'ts could you tell us about jumping into the process of writing a book?
Well, one thing I can say not to do is don't always listen to the so-called experts, because I think I told you, Ruben, when we talked before, I got a D in creative writing in college, and I loved to read and write at that time, and we were reading a great book called The Things They Carried, and the way I saw the different metaphors and stuff, I guess, didn't match up with the creative way my professor did. And she actually wrote on one of my papers, I have no understanding of that, which it takes to be an author. And I, 10 or so years later, as I was writing this book, I would still hear that voice in my head, you know, like, and remember that grade. And I just had to keep pushing that away. And today I have a published book out and she doesn't. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that it's like, don't allow other people to tell you what you can and can't do, or what God puts in your heart. Like not even me. Like I give people my experiences, but like Ruben, if you say God's put in my heart to do this, I can give you the best advice that I can from the understanding that I have, but it still may or may not match up with a dream or vision that God's put uniquely into your heart. And so you can just kind of take that for what it is. But what all I can say is to everyone listening is it takes courage, you know, to really go in there and do it and share your story. But some of the best advice I could give is the more real and authentic you can be. I know there's parts of our stories we don't want to talk about. We think people are going to judge us and stuff. Those are actually the most powerful parts of your story if you're writing something, that is actually going to connect to people more, and it's truly going to help them more. You know, I almost hesitated if I should put in that jail part and stuff in my book, and that's where I've had so many different people reaching out to me that have been through similar situations and stuff, to be like, I didn't know you had gone through that before. And I remember with having my company and my team, I was thinking, I wonder what they're going to think about knowing the owner of the company was in jail and involved in all this drugs and alcohol. And if anything, we've all grown closer as a result of it, rather than them like judging me or something, you know. So that and be authentic. For like, I put stick figure drawings in a so-called leadership book. Again, that professor that gave me a D would have probably gave me an F and said, you can't put stick figure drawings in a leadership book.
Yeah.
But I was having fun with that, you know, and I wanted to change. I had read so many different leadership books. They all started to look the same to me, and I wanted something that people could read that they could kind of have fun with it. Like, I used to read the old Far Side, like pictures, or they'd have the calendar and have little cartoon drawings and the funnies and stuff like that. And I was like, I just wanted to throw that in with my story, but also the stick figures kind of can really illustrate the point really well. And it really gets in people's heads. I've even used them for some of my leadership speeches or speaking areas and stuff too. I've brought those different picture drawings, and it's really helped people out. So the best advice is just start doing and don't stop, and give yourself some type of time frame of when you're going to have it done by, and announce it to a few people that can help hold you accountable. Don't announce it maybe to everyone, because I had some friends try to actually talk me out of writing this book, because they said I had too much on my plate, and they were worried I was going to fail. And they were doing it with good intentions, but they didn't understand, like, you don't get it, like, God's put this in my heart, so it's like, yeah. You need to know me better than that. Like, it's already in my heart. It's in my head. I'm already obsessed about it. So I'm going to get it done no matter what. And you just have to keep pressing forward. Everyone, you know, there's no perfect, I wish I could say I had like a 10-point plan to success or something of how to do it, but everyone's wired differently. I had the Evernote app I had in my iPhone, and I would constantly just be typing notes in there all the time, and quotes. I started thinking of quotes, or I'd read an inspirational quote, and then I started writing a few blogs, and then I wrote a few more blogs. I didn't even have a blog page. I just started publishing them on LinkedIn at first. And then as I did those, and then also started my podcast, I just kind of started getting connected with more and more amazing people. And Dan Miller, who's the New York Times bestselling author that wrote the foreword for my book, I didn't even know who he was at the time I started writing my book. And if someone had told me, you're going to have a published book by a major publishing company and a New York Times bestselling author is going to write the foreword to it, even me, who has crazy dreams, like, I would have been laughing. But the thing is, I wasn't caught up in the how of everything. I just kept doing. And finally, towards the end, I paid for an editor that helped me kind of compile everything and put it all together. And that was a really good investment for me, because I knew that if I was paying for it, they had different assignments for me, and I had to have everything into them accordingly to have all the pages done on time and stuff. So that little kick in the butt kind of helped me. And if anyone listening to this is wanting to write something or starting to, as we share like any of my information, I always try my best to respond to everyone. So if they have some more in-depth questions, I can definitely try to answer the best I can, because I can tell you I knew nothing about how a book works when I started writing it, if that makes you all feel better. And now I know a lot more, and I'm still learning along the way.
That's awesome. So how do you distinguish whether you want to self-publish or find a publisher? You said that yours is going to be published by a national publisher. Like, how do you distinguish the two? Like, no, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this on my own. Or how does one even go about finding a publisher?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think either one is a good option. And now the way the world is, you can get a platform and definitely self-publish. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer to that. I've also known some people that went with large publishing companies, and they weren't happy with that because the publishing company, like, switched their whole book around, and by the time I got it back from them, it didn't even look like what they had written, which wasn't the case for mine. Mine, everything in there is mine, my stick figure drawings, everything. So I, just from having my podcast and meeting more and more like-minded people, I don't believe in coincidences. I have to say God connected me with actually the owner of this company who was in a mastermind group that I had joined with Dan Miller at that time. And my book was in rough manuscript form, and I submitted it to him and his company. And they get thousands and thousands of them just in my category and only accept like 2% of them. And I was just pretty blown away when I found out they wanted to publish it. And what I really liked about the company I'm with is they're kind of a combination of self-publishing and a publishing company. So they kind of work with you on both ends of it. They let it be all of yours. They help with all the cover design and stuff. It's going to be in like 90% of all the major bookstores, and it's on Amazon Kindle now, but it's going to be all over Amazon and in the airports and stuff through them. But I also have the freedom kind of as a self-publisher, and they talk to you about entrepreneurial type spirit that you really have to grind and hustle and work really hard on the marketing and stuff on your end of it. And what a lot of the bigger publishing companies do is they kind of, what I've heard is, once you've submitted it and they accept it, like the author isn't really involved anymore. And the company I'm with, they've kept me involved along all the steps of the process. So it's like we're more of a team. So I think it all depends on everyone's situation. And I've also known, Ruben, several good friends of mine that have self-published, like Bruce Van Horn has an amazing podcast, Life is a Marathon. Has over like a million listeners, and he self-published both of his books and has had amazing success with them. And they're actually in other countries, all over the world now even. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. And plus nothing is forever. So if I learn from this experience and realize, hey, my next book, I want to self-publish, you can always do that, or you can self-publish your first one, and maybe you'll say, hey, my first one, I want to try it with a publisher. But the best advice I can give is just don't get stuck on those details enough to where it paralyzes you to not do it, you know? Because you're never going to have those like perfect answers or perfect conditions. Just keep doing it and learn along the way, even from your mistakes.
Yeah, that's great advice. How does the podcast and the book kind of combine? Like, how what's the story between both of the podcast and the book, and how you kind of jump from one to the other?
Yeah, the podcast, really, I wanted to continue to really inspire people with different stories of all these amazing people I was meeting. They had been through a lot of adversity, but had had so much significant success in all levels of life. And I'm kind of a guy that was like considered the underdog, you know, and has been able to battle through it to get to where I am. And that's what our podcast, Elevating Beyond, is all about, is sharing with people. I've had guests from every ethnicity, born in every area of the country, all different parts of the world, that have all had to overcome different levels of adversity, but they never gave up and they've all been able to have amazing success. And the thing that I continue to find is it's not about how smart you are. It's not about your IQ. It's about the will and determination, and really anything is possible if you're really willing to just work really hard at it and not give up. And that's been the core of our show, is we just continue to have guests from all walks of life. Like I said, we'll have an NFL player or a New York Times bestselling author, or we had a homeless guy on our show one time that actually was still homeless while he was on our show. But the amazing thing about him is he had overcome incredible adversity and didn't have a victim mindset. He actually was helping out other homeless people and was on his way to becoming a coach and moving up to other levels in life. He was living in a laundromat in the time in Denver, Colorado, when we found out he was a huge listener and our show was inspiring him. Wow. And so what we do on our show is I have a spot on our webpage where it says share your story for a chance to be a featured guest. And we started getting a few at first, and now I'm just getting hundreds and hundreds of them. And it's just amazing to see when people open up, you know, because what it is it's not about me. It's about other people's stories, and the courage they share is what really helps gives the listeners courage to know, you know, everyone goes through it. But if you just keep fighting through it and don't give up, you can basically do anything that you're called to do, whether it's being an entrepreneur, you know, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, opening your church, getting that, being better at your job, being a better teacher, just any area of life it applies to.
Yeah. And you're pursuing the dream and encouraging others to pursue the dream. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
And when you went to release the podcast, how much research did you do into releasing a podcast for those that want to get into putting a podcast out or are on the verge? What advice can you give them on putting it out, promoting it, continuing to build the fan base or the listener base? What advice would you have for
sure.
them?
Again, I didn't know the how of how everything worked. And when we booked our first major guest, I didn't even have the microphone or anything. I just knew how to record it. I didn't take a podcast webinar or anything. I was YouTubing like how to podcast. And I remember I called our first major guest back and I was like, what microphone would you recommend? And finally, I just opened up to him. I'm like, look, this is our first show with a big guest. Like, I don't even know what equipment I'm supposed to have. And he told me, you know, and I think that honesty, he appreciated it. So that kind of helped me know what microphone to get and everything. And we just continued to really learn along the way. Now I will say I have put thousands of hours in, especially in social media, and how I've promoted it, how I've interacted with everyone, especially on Twitter. And I'm not saying Twitter is better than Instagram or Instagram's better than Facebook or Snapchat. It's just whatever's working better for you.
Yeah, your preference.
And I got a lot of traction there. And I've been getting more involved with Facebook. You know, that's where we connected. And what I've tried to continue to do is I like to share really a lot of inspirational stuff, awesome quotes that I normally share anyway. And then I just continually attach our podcast and stuff or my book to that. And that's been a lot of the ways that has really helped lead people to it. And word of mouth. But again, like the first 14 months, you know, we just crossed over like 350,000 downloads.
Wow.
And I had hoped for all that and stuff, but I just, kept doing it, you know, wanting to help people, wanting to help change lives. We just got our first official sponsor and paid commercial spot. But people don't know that I did it for free for 14 months before that, you know. And whether or not I did or didn't have a commercial, I would still be getting on and doing our show, because it's just about reaching out to more and more people and knowing, like, I've had a lot of hard times where I was overwhelmed, you know, and I was like, I don't know if I keep doing this. And then I got an email from someone that said they had been in a dark spot. They were really on the verge of thinking of committing suicide, and they just were opening up. They've been listening to our show for the past 4 months, and that helped pull them out of the darkness. And they said they're still battling the depression, but they're definitely not going to commit suicide anymore, and they're starting to have hope for the first time again. And I'm like, man, thank you, God. Like, I needed to read that tonight. Like, that lets me know, like, I don't get to quit. Like, this is bigger than me.
Yeah. And do you market what you do as faith-based or Christian? Would you say that your core audience is a Christian audience, or because you have a lot of the stuff I'm reading and some of the guests and just listening to your podcast, you know, being a Christian is out there. And are you promoting yourself as, oh, it's a Christian podcast, or is there that fine line that you ride there?
Well, I'm not ashamed, I'm unapologetic about being a Christian. Like, definitely, I'm not ashamed of it by any means, but also, you know, I don't think even Jesus called himself a Christian. So I just go out there and I like to share stories that are real. And my story has God at the core of it. My experiences do. So I can't share my story without talking about God. That's part of my real experiences. And a lot of our listeners and stuff are faith-based. A lot of them are different entrepreneurs or at all levels of life. But some of them aren't, and that's totally fine. Some of my guests aren't, but they share the same core values and characteristics as me. And it's really just about sharing stories of courage. And whether or not people know that God's at the core of it, most of the time you can tell God always is. And I've C.S. Lewis says, like, I've met some Christians, people who claim to be Christian, that are further away from Christ than you can even imagine. And he's like, I've met some people that claim not to be Christians, and they're actually closer to Christ than they even would know, because it's all about what's in different people's hearts. So yeah, we don't, awesome, you know, openly say, yeah. So it's for anyone that wants to listen to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. When you know, early on, you had mentioned jumping into one of these mastermind groups. When you were gonna, what was that? When you were gonna to start to do the podcast, or when you were gonna start to do the book? And how important is it to kind of jump into one of those mastermind groups?
It's been a game changer. Yeah, probably one of the best investments. We started one now. We have our own that we do, and I'm also still in one. And I almost recommend it at both levels, because coaches need coaches. And also, when you have wisdom to share and teach, the thing that's great about a mastermind is we're able to have a group and stuff and meet. We're now meeting every other week for 90 minutes, like in a private Zoom session. Then we share. We have a private Facebook page exclusive to our group. But really become like a family, and you can network with so many different people and get connected with so many like-minded people that are all doing different things, that they can push you to do whatever it is that you're working on. And that's how I connected with Dan Miller, actually, who wrote the foreword for my book, and then actually got an offer to apply for his mastermind group. And I had been involved in a few before, and they were okay. They just weren't a great fit for me. Some of them were a little too big, or some just And so you want to make sure you try to find something that's a good fit for you. But being in one, and also the one that we've been running, has been amazing to see how far the people have come, and also how far I've continued to come in mine, and just the people that you really network with is just worth. I can't really even describe how powerful it's really been to find some key like-minded people. And yes, the one we're in, people have to pay a monthly fee, and the one I'm in, I pay a monthly fee, but I have skin in the game for the group that I'm in, and so does everyone else. And that makes everyone be more accountable to be involved. And it's honestly, that's what led to my book being published, just to everywhere that it is now, being involved in that mastermind. So I've had a great experience on both ends of them. I would say it's very important, especially if you're wanting to be in the arena of having a business or growing your business or having a podcast that's growing or speaking or writing a book. It's really important because it can help get you out there on so many other different levels that you just might not have ever really connected with had you not been a part of something like that.
For those that haven't been in a mastermind group or are thinking about joining one, can you describe real quick on what goes on during these groups?
Yeah. What we do, and both the one we run and the one I'm involved in is, first of all, like, there's ongoing communication on our private page throughout the week, and it takes time to get to know each other, but people will share sometimes even just personal stuff they might open up or vent about, because we really do become like a family. And then also people will talk about something they're working on. Like, we have one guy who created his own sports supplement company in our mastermind and built it from the ground up as he was part of our mastermind. And what we are getting ready to do in one of our future meetings is he's going to present all his stuff, and everyone that's in the group is going to go over his whole kind of product launch. Everyone's going to give their input, and then we're all going to come together. Like, he's going to be a featured guest on my show. Because he has an amazing story of overcoming adversity behind it. And then we've been able to help come up with a strategy and connect him with these amazing people we know that own similar companies in his industry that help give him those direct contacts. And then also we have different topics or themes, and we bring in like different experts, like the guy Dan Waldschmidt I've been guest co-hosting with. He's a speaker around the world. His normal rate is $30,000.
Wow.
Each time he speaks for like an hour, and we had him join at least two of our mastermind sessions for a private session where he works with as a consultant to billionaires too. And he was able to talk with each member, and they talked with them about whether it's their book they're wanting to work on, their company they're wanting to grow, whatever it may be. And they got that one-on-one time, like exclusive to our group with him. I mean, even just that hour alone is the return of investment right there. And then also we're working to get together once a year in person here at Dreamshine at our Waterfront Lodge, where we're going to have like kind of like a live event, but it's exclusive just to our mastermind because you have that face-to-face time. And we're going to have some special speakers and stuff there too. But then we get together and we're really able to open up about what it is that we're all working on. Some people have podcasts and they're wanting to understand more. How do I start my own mastermind? Or how did you get commercials for that, Mark? Or I want to get more into speaking. And everyone's able to kind of come together as a group and help advise each other. And you really, just the power of those networks and those connections. Plus when we meet every other week on Zoom, it's in a private chat room. And we just have up to 25 members in our first mastermind group. So it's not like the overwhelmingly large amount of people. It's on video, and plus we record all the sessions. So you're able to see each other and have that interaction. And then people can always listen to the recorded sessions if they can't make it. People also can put in questions ahead of time if they want the group to talk about them or discuss them. So really, I mean, I can't even, I'm just kind of going off the top of my head, but they're really amazing for sure. If you find one that's a good fit for you.
Yeah, I've been looking into some of these, and they got several of them throughout San Diego, and a lot of great entrepreneurs coming out of San Diego doing big things. And you know, you had mentioned John Lee Dumas, and he's someone that I met at a conference that I was actually a cameraman for. And so I'd met him, and I was back in the green room, and I'm sitting there, you know, having lunch, and I didn't even know that was him. And we start talking, and then I go in, and you know, the session starts back up, and I, you know, I hear what he has to say, and I was just blown away. And that's kind of when I was like, dude, I'm gonna start a podcast, you know, I'm gonna do this, you know. And it was one of
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was Nick Unsworth. He's from out here in San Diego, and I guess he lives in the same building with John Lee Dumas, and he has but his program is Life on Fire. And John Lee Dumas had the Entrepreneur on Fire. And so together they were like, hey, man, we live in the same building. What a trip. And, you know, they started doing a bunch of stuff together. And I went to go shoot
awesome.
for Nick Unsworth, a friend of mine, Eric Casas. He works with all, you know, a whole lot of this, these entrepreneurs in the entrepreneur space. So he invited me, and I was just blown away by everything I was soaking up. And that was kind of my, you know, it sparked my fire to want to get into this this podcasting thing. And you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
That's awesome.
So but
yeah that's awesome. And yeah, and even with it's so great, just keep pushing out there, connecting with people. And even the one I'm in and the one we run, the one I'm in, people are from all over the country, some from even out of the country. But having that Zoom platform, we're able to all see each other each time when we meet, you know, on there. And then we meet at least once a year in person. So nice. It's awesome. Nice. And it's cool, like you said, how you met with John Lee Dumas, and we've connected with him, and people that work with him are in our group. And that's what I love about a lot of the people and podcasters and people who really care. They don't, like you and I, we don't compete with each other. We're wanting to help each other because we each have different niches and messages to share. Yeah, and like I said, in the future, I'm going to be honored to have you on my show, because I want my audience to know, my listeners to know about the awesome things you're doing here with your show and your amazing tribe that you're growing too.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd be honored. Thank you. Thank you for that. And you're going to be in San Diego soon, right?
That's right. That's right. I'm going to be there, I think, the third week of April for the social media event. Speaking of John Lee Dumas, he's going to be there along with several other people who are kind of like gurus in the podcast industry. And I know Dan Miller, who did the forward for my books there and speaking. Actually, we're part of the stuff they're speaking on is masterminds. And I've been invited to participate in part of that too, and teach about the experience of running one and being in one. So I better really get my answers and speech prepared for that.
Nice.
Now that I think about it.
Nice. Yeah, I'd love to go check that out, man. If you can send me some info on that. And I know we're running
for
about
sure.
You know, about an hour into this. So if you can you tell us how we can find you online, and how we can find the book, and anybody interested in wanting to buy the book, if we can get a little more info on that?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, people just go to the main site I have now is just Mark Menard, MarkMinard.net. And that has my different social media platforms on it. Right now you can buy the paperback and the hard copy directly from there till it's officially released, I believe, in July from my publisher, which will be in all the bookstores and stuff. And then also right now it's on Amazon Kindle. In the meantime, too, it's The Story of You. But yeah, if you jump onto my page, it's right there. And I'm all over Twitter at DreamShine4. But again, if you go to my main webpage, it makes it easier. It just has all my information right there, and my blogs and stuff. And I'll be honored if any of your listeners, you know, reach out to me, and I always do my best to try to respond to everyone. So I always appreciate that. And I remember how much that meant to me when I was wanting to do something and reached out to people, and they responded to me. It's always special.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I reached out to you, I know, you know, you responded right away, man. So, it was a blessing to hear back. And I was like, man, you know, I'd love to have you share your story, you know, on my show. And you know, it was a blessing that that we had a few things in common here. And, you know, just hearing you and hearing you on your podcast is inspiring. So anybody listening that wants to get some inspirational verbiage going on during the day and you want a podcast to listen to, make sure you check out, you know, what Mark Menard's doing all over. You're on iTunes and Stitcher and everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. Elevating Beyond. Yeah, we are elevatingbeyond.com. I forgot we have that. That's the page too. Yeah, but it's right there on iTunes.
Yeah.
And yeah, Ruben, I've been honored to connect with you, and I've seen you killing it all over the place on iTunes and Facebook, and I think your podcast is already rated above mine. So I think you're doing, you probably hit more downloads than me. Yeah, you're all over the place, man. I love it.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm still learning on how all that goes. I know, you know, we did all right on the first week or so, but I'm still learning. So, you know, I haven't really been checking every day. So, you know, I appreciate all the pointers I can get. So, you know, if you know any little shortcuts on learning anything, I'd love to hear them. I'm still in learning mode, so you know, I appreciate it, and you know, trying to keep the stuff going, man. So, but Mark, I appreciate your time, man. I'll let you get back to work, and I know you're getting ready to head out with the family soon here to take them out to Disney World. So, appreciate you know, everything you're doing, man, and keep doing it. You know, you're encouraging me to not give up and keep, you know, pursuing the dream and move forward. So thank you for everything you do, man. Awesome. Everything you're going to do with the book, man. It's a, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a monster of a book, man. So thank you for everything.
Thank you, Ruben.
Cool.
Thank you. And thank you to all your listeners. It's been an honor.
There you go. And you've just been connected, Mark Menard, Elevating Beyond and the Story of You. So appreciate you, man. We will talk soon. God bless, and we out.